Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Back to COP now, back to the climate, because as we heard earlier, the Taoiseach has told world leaders that if this current generation of leaders does not step up urgently, future generations will not forgive them. He was delivering Ireland's national climate statement at the COP27 climate summit in Egypt. In a moment, we'll speak to Green Party chair of the Oireachtas Climate Committee, Brian Leddon. But first, let's go live to Cairo and to the conference and to Sive O'Neill, who's climate policy researcher and who's attending COP for Friends of the Irish Environment. Sive, you're very welcome to the programme. Your reaction to the Taoiseach's statement and speech today?
Well, like before, we heard some very fine words from the Taoiseach setting out Ireland's priorities to support developing countries in the climate crisis. He mentioned in his speech as well that as leaders, it's our responsibility to drive the transformation necessary. And clearly he's pointing at global leaders. But if you apply that particular principle, very laudable principle, to himself and to himself as leader of the government, it's obvious that we're falling very, very far short. Ireland is not on track to implementing the commitments that we have made as parties to the Paris Agreement. We're not on track to staying within the carbon budgets that were adopted by the Dáil. And the numbers are pretty dismal. Agricultural emissions
have increased. Is that fair, though, given what he said himself in his speech, that we've committed our targets and commitments to law?
Well, that is definitely an improvement. It's certainly better than a period when we had no governance mechanism in place to drive the emission reductions that were needed. But laws and policies and rhetoric and speeches are fine and dandy, but unless you implement them, it makes no difference to Ireland's climate impact. So as long as we're increasing emissions into the atmosphere, Ireland's climate impact is not getting any better. And that's ultimately what matters. So our emissions, different sectors have different increases, but basically none of them are going down. Agriculture is up 3, transport up 6, and electricity is up 18%. So we're really falling very far short. And that's going to require even more stringent emission reductions of about 10 to 20%, depending on the sector, over the coming years. And what we said to the Taoiseach today, I was fortunate to meet him with Professor Hannah Daly and other academics from UCC. We impressed upon him the need to communicate this urgency much more effectively to the public, in the same way that the government acted with the COVID crisis. There was clear leadership. It was driven by the science. There was an effort to, deal with misinformation. And there was an awful lot of resources put into supporting people who were made worse off as a result of the radical changes that were made.
I just wonder, Sive, if the Taoiseach did transmit your message to world leaders, if those words would ring hollow, and this goes for every single world leader who took to the podium and made similar statements, if the words aren't met with deeds.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's really my point. And we have a particular problem in Ireland. We have some good policies, but we also have some bad policies that are clearly not on the right side of history. For example, it was reported in the Irish Independent today that a representative of a board, BIA, was on a trade mission lauding Ireland's agricultural model as environmentally benign. And this just flies in the face of the facts. Ireland's agriculture is responsible for water pollution, the main cause of biodiversity loss. And of course, it's our biggest contributor as a sector to greenhouse gas emissions. Now, I'm not saying this to attack farmers. I'm just saying this to point out the facts.
So they say they've implemented change and they're greener in their practice than they have been for years.
Well, they say that, but the question is, does evidence support that? And the EPA has clearly come out many times and said that the evidence does not support the claims that are being made
by the Minister
for Agriculture, by Chagask, and by Bord Bia.
Okay, so stay with me, Sive, for a moment, Sive O'Neill at COP. Let me bring in Chair of the Oireachtas Climate Committee, Brian Leddon of the Green Party, Green Party TD. Brian, you're very welcome to the programme. Is Ireland saying one thing on the world stage and doing another?
I don't think that's fair. I think the country is showing leadership and the Taoiseach is showing leadership. And I would say that in the last 2 years, so much more has been done than in the previous 10 or 15. So like we are getting there. We have the legal framework in place. But this, you know, turning the ship around is very, very difficult. I can't disagree with most of what Saif says there, I have to say.
What do you disagree with?
I'm generally on board with what she's saying. We can't do enough quickly enough, but I absolutely agree with Saif when she says that we need to communicate the urgency, because one of the difficulties we have when we try and implement climate action at the local level, and a lot of climate action is very local, people don't understand why these changes are necessary. They don't make the connection between the catastrophic events that are happening in Pakistan or in Africa and the measures that we need to implement in every community in Ireland. It's not going to be easy. And I think we are probably failing in that communication message.
Sorry, I'm confused now, Brian, because if you say you agree with everything that Saif has said or a large part of it, and I ask you if Ireland is saying one thing in the world stage but failing at home in terms of action, do you disagree with that?
I disagree with that in the sense that we have the most ambitious climate law in terms of reduction of greenhouse gas emissions in Europe at the moment. We're looking at a 50% cut in emissions based on a 2018 baseline by 2030. That is an extraordinary challenge.
That's still just a commitment. So why are...
It's a legally binding commitment.
I don't care. In terms of action, though, in terms of reducing...
The climate action plan comes from that.
Yeah, I don't care. That's just simply a commitment. Now it's in law. In terms of action, why are emissions up in agriculture and in transport and in electricity?
So the climate action plan is, the first one was published last year. It is revisable every year. Under the Climate Act, and it's revisable if we're off track. So that's why it's been revised and is likely to be revised here.
Why is it up in those sectors?
It's up because we have entrenched systems in our country, in transport and in agriculture and in housing that cause emissions. And it's not easy to just flick a switch and turn those off. So, like,
So we'll be missing our targets then? Even if they're in law?
I think it's going to be very challenging, but I'm optimistic that we will meet our targets.
And where does the optimism come from then, if it's not easy as to flick a switch?
I think it's about turning the ship. So we turn the ship a couple of degrees now, such that by the end of the decade, 2030, we are where we want to be. It's like everything has been done.
I don't understand that. I mean, what does turning the ship mean when you're saying it's not like flicking a switch? I've pointed to sectors like agriculture, transport, electricity, as Saif has.
So transport.
Bia, for example, says our dairy sector is environmentally benign. They're saying that on the world stage. Saif says it's not true. So are we saying one thing in front of world leaders in the world media, but when it comes to action, we're failing hand over fist?
No, because the Climate Action Plan looks at the numbers and the policy measures that are in the Climate Action Plan are linked to the numbers. So if I want to talk about transport, which is our second biggest emitting sector, we have a very car-oriented system. We have to move, and the OECD published a very good report a few weeks ago which looked at Ireland's transport-related emissions, and it basically said that we've got to change from a car-oriented society to one that isn't. So we need to invest in public transport, in walking and cycling networks. So when it comes to we need to increase rail services, we need to go to an every village, every hour level of bus service. Mm-hmm. We need to be providing public transport for people who are driving currently, and that's across the whole country.
You keep mentioning targets, and in that OECD report, they basically said our target of pushing electric vehicles is wrong. It's the wrong policy.
I think, and you'll probably see a switch in emphasis in the revised climate action plan that's coming up, because...
So you're accepting that is the wrong policy, are you?
Yeah, and that's the whole point of revising the climate action plan, that if we are off track, we change how we do things. We make these amendments to it, and we are going to invest more in public transport, more in active travel. But none of this is easy, Cormac. Like the very smallest climate action project you can think of, a simple cycle lane, if you're trying to install that in a village or a town or a city in Ireland, meets massive resistance.
I understand,
and this comes back to Saif's very important point that the urgency, the connection between the catastrophic weather impacts that are happening in all across the world and close to home as well. People are not making the connection between the kinds of measures that need to be implemented at the local level, and that is walking and cycling networks. It is public transport networks as well.
Can I get a response to Sáimh O'Neill there? Is that a fair response to my question of saying one thing on the world stage but actions failing on the other hand?
I think one of the most important things we need to do here is to tell the truth. I actually attended a session this morning run by an emissions trading organisation about regulating corporate claims. And they were discussing the fact that increasingly across Europe, countries are bringing in legislation to regulate the kind of claims that companies can make. And in France, for example, they have a law prohibiting climate neutrality claims unless you're completely honest as a company about your emissions across your entire supply chain. Now, we need the same kind of honesty ourselves as a nation. We need to be very honest about where our emissions are coming from, where we're going wrong, where we have made some progress, and where we have a lot more work to do. And until we have that kind of honesty in all our communications with the public and with people we're doing trade deals with, and to directly to the major exporters that are leading some of the most, difficult areas in the Irish economy to decarbonize. Unless we're honest and telling the truth, we're on a road to nowhere.
Can I ask you finally, Brian Leddon of the Green Party, in the Dáil today, Mary Lou MacDonald was saying that Ireland's climate targets are at real risk. They're the words she used. She said our retrofitting scheme is not fit for purpose, and she called on the government to facilitate a Dáil debate about how the emissions targets will be reached. Now, is that something you'd agree with?
I would agree with it. I would agree that we should have a Dáil debate. I don't agree with her at all on the retrofitting targets. It's one of the most ambitious schemes in Europe. It's only just started. It's really incorrect to say that we're not on target. If you listen to the SEAI, look at the numbers. We are actually on target, and the SEAI come into the committee all the time,
so
and we go through the numbers very carefully.
Want a Dáil debate on how to reach emissions targets?
At least one Dáil debate, Cormac. We want to talk about climate as much as possible.
Okay.
This is a catastrophic situation that we're in, and we should be talking about it all the time. It should apply to every conversation we have, every debate
have. Let's see if we get that Dáil debate. A listener, James, says, on COP, I've tried repeatedly to move to an EV and renewables here in rural Ireland, but have met obstacles at every turn, so I'm on the point of giving up, says James. We'll leave it there, but we'll return. Keep your texts coming in on this issue. Give us your experience to 51551. But for the moment, Brian Leddon, Green Party TD, and Sáimh O'Neill, climate policy lecturer at COP in Sharm el-Sheikh in Cairo. Thank you very much indeed.